After anxiety for what? And I got a couple of calls and people who like, really want to talk about it. And I'm not talking about from you guys. I'm talking about outside people, or maybe they're not outside people, but they're not usually on here with us. But they watch the message. And the thing that really hit me was they all said God is on them about getting the house in order, getting their budget, like knowing the state of their flocks and why weren't they doing it. And I went, wow, well, that's interesting because that's a universal message. It's not to the church, so to say. It's, everybody should have their house in order. I guess as I begin to walk through the process of that, which I'm doing, and I said it, and both brought up the point that I said, I know the moment that I begin to do this, God is going to work it out or make it plain for me. So I'm going to lay this before you. He did, but not in a way that you may want to think in your flesh. He just came all of a sudden, and I just walked outside and I tripped over a bag of money and looked in it and everything. No, it wasn't. I looked at my account and money was there. That just, well, oh, business just came running in the door and I had to shut the door with so many. No, it didn't respond like that. He responded with a peace that any anxiety or thought of it was immediately gone. And let me tell you something. Having stuff without peace, if you haven't been around long enough, it doesn't really make much difference. All of a sudden, I was complete in the fact that you got me. I've been here before and pff, you got me. And it was just a sense of peace that just came over me that made everything okay. It was like, but did the bank account change in my spirit? Yes. In the natural? No. No. But I don't need it to because he says, I'm much better than the birds of the air. He continues to take care of them. Will he not much more take care of you? And for me, that peace was worth more than a physical manifestation, even though I know it is a physical manifestation, because he says, and God knows you have need of these things. I know what you have need of. Before I read the scripture I have for today, I just want to submit this, just as children of God. Only parent here is Sophie. Does Zaniah, and does she ever come to you every month and ask you, so you got the rent money? You got to pay the bills? You good? What about the lights? Well, how are you going to pay the lights? You got to work some overtime? Like, what? You notice all her life, she didn't go, is the bed still in the room? I mean, did they come and take this furniture? Like, not one time. Why? Because she just trusts that mommy got this. She don't even know what mommy got. She don't know what mommy even need to handle every day and all day. She ain't pressing, let me see your paycheck. Let me see your budget. I want to see your budget. Okay, show me what you got coming in. Show me what you got going out. Okay, mom, you ain't handling this well. This is gonna be bad for us. She'll still come and say, I need some new shoes. I need some new whatever. Like she ain't thinking about or being concerned about, you're listening close, mommy business. She's not concerned about mommy business. She don't stick her nose in mommy business. I don't want to know if you're paying the rent, how you paying the rent, what you doing on the side to pay the rent. I don't know what's going on. I just know when I come in and turn the switch on my room, the light come on. That's all I know. I open the refrigerator, food is in that refrigerator. We good. I don't all the other stuff, my clothes is getting too small. I need a new outfit. When's it gonna appear? Amen. This right, this is magic. It's magic. Toilet paper will be in the bathroom. It will be there. It will be there. I don't have to fast and pray about toothpaste when I open the medicine closet. There will be toothpaste. It's magical. It's mommy. Mommy is magical. It happens. And God has been saying to us, I'm God. Why are you worrying about God business? Why are you in my business? Come on, I know I'm preaching good. Why are you trying to check my bank account and see what's in there? Why are you worrying about how this going to stay on and that's going to stay on, how I'm going to eat this and how I'm going to do? How are you all in my business? I mean, if you could handle it, it would be your business. Because you can't, it's mine. So why are you in my business? And just that revelation just came to me. I'm a grown man, but I'm a child. And I'm a child of my father. And that's daddy business. And if I can't fix it or do it within myself, and I already acknowledge that it's beyond my ability to get me to the places that I believe he's bringing me, then it's daddy business. So what would Sophie probably say if she came and said, "Well, mommy, how are you gonna pay the rent? How are you gonna do this?" And she'd probably say, "Girl, mind your business. That ain't none of your business. Why, you gonna help? You gonna pay it? You got a job? Okay. I mean, I'm a parent, so I know the conversation, right? Why, you gonna help? No, you got a job? No, you got some money that you wanna contribute? No. So go and take care of your business. Go do your homework. Like, get on away from me with all these stupid questions." And I feel God saying the same thing. Why, you got it? No, you gonna pay it? No. So what you all in my business for? Go do what I told you to do, and I'll take care of that. Who needed that right now? So now, from that perspective, I begin to say, yeah, you got this. You always got it. Like, you've never let me down yet. You're not gonna let me down now. So I begin to say, well, okay, so that makes perfect sense. You got this. You saw this coming before I saw it coming. You always have, you always will. So as Nellie and I had our prayer time this morning, we talked about, I said, "Nellie, when you pray like this. When I pray like this." Who catches that? When you pray, you're reaching, you're claiming, "I need it, and God, and he'll make a way, and oh Lord." And when I come before God, I just say, "God, I receive what you've already said belongs to me. And I put my hands out and I receive." I have an open hand policy with God, right? It's an open hand policy. I got my hands open, just fill them. You know what they need. I'm not reaching and grabbing, tugging, pulling, and trying to make God be God. I just give him the space to be God. Here's my open hands. I come before you with an open heart and my hands open for you to do what you do. Now, I want you to notice something about this posture. And to people who are just listening to audio and can't see it, they're going to miss this. So one posture I show where are you reaching up and grabbing one hand after another, trying to pull something down. Other hand, I put my hands like this, kind of like the Lion King up holding the Simba in front of the tribe. Now, I want you to understand something about that, about the gesture. Do it. Both hands to the sky, like you putting your hands out for somebody to put a baby in your hand. Isn't that not the posture of worship? Isn't that not the posture of worship? So in worship, you're trusting for your hands to be filled with whatever they need to be filled with. I said, "God, that's good. That's good. I like that. I like that. I like that image. I like what you're showing me here. So how do you want me to bring this home to the family?" And he sent me to Zechariah chapter 4. Literally, this was this morning after Nellie and I had our prayer time. She went downstairs to get ready, I mean, to get on camera. And I sat down and said, "Wow, God, that's a powerful revelation. The hands out versus the grabbing at, just open hands trusting." And he said, "I want you to go to Zechariah 4. And I want you to read the first few verses. And I want you to empower the people and get them ready for what I'm doing." I said, "Okay." So Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. "And the angel who was speaking with me came back and awakened me like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me," and I looked at this first verse, and here's what I said, "And the angel of the Lord, who was speaking with me came back and awakened me like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. So that's what God said. Was he asleep? Because he said he awakened me like. And what I gathered from this is not he was sleeping, he came in the room and shook him. This is a spiritual awakening or an eye opening or a revelation that I wasn't getting before. I was speaking with this angel. I was talking to him, but he came back and he awakened me. He said, No. Open your eyes. You're not seeing this the way you need to see it. So this is an awakening, not from sleep necessarily, but awakening from a slumber or a dullness or a misunderstanding of what God is doing and saying in your life in this season and time. I want you to wake up. I need you to, no, you. I need you right now to get a grasp of this from a different direction that you're not getting it from. Does that make sense? So let's do it again. And the angel who was speaking with me came back and awakened me like a man who is awakened from his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I see and behold an imperial lamp of gold with a bowl of oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps, and it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on top of it." So now, this is proof that what I'm saying is real. He came to him and he awakened him in a spiritual level. So he's seeing something, a vision. What do you see? What are you looking at? What do you see now? And he begins to describe what he's seeing in this vision or in the spirit. Are we on the same page? And so let's move on. He said, "And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side, supplying it with continuous oil." Now, I love this. He sees the olive trees on the side of the bowl. He sees the lamps or the canisters, you could say, that's pouring it out. And he sees olive trees on each side continuing to fill it with oil. Now, I just want to be brief with this. I don't want to, because I don't want people to miss anything. We do understand the significance of oil, right? The oil represents the spirit usually. And if you look all through the Bible, Old Testament and New, they always refer to wealth and prosperity as being olive and oil and the branches and the tree and the whole sweet thing. That oil represents it's for anointing. It represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the presence of God in a lot of ways. So what he's seeing here and what he's understanding is he's seeing provision. He's seeing presence. He's seeing anointing. He's seeing things that people of that generation understood in a way that we might not. Olive oil, we just go to the store and we just buy that. With that, we don't have to have no trees and all that stuff. So, right, a lot of those things have lost value or meaning. But a man who had a lot of that was a wealthy man. This is a beautiful thing. But now he's got a tree on the left and a tree on the right in his vision, and it's continuously filling the bowls as they're being used. This is powerful. Stay with me. So he said he saw the tree, one by the right side of the bowl on the left side, supplying it continuously with oil. So I asked the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel who was speaking with me answered me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So I want you to, I can get deep on this, but I'm gonna try not to get too deep. I want to get this. He's saying angel, but he's saying my Lord. And they referred to Christ a lot of times when he appeared unto them as the angel of the Lord. You find that if you go to and you break it down, a lot of times they refer to him as the angel of the Lord was with me. They really didn't know it was Christ, the Savior, then, because that redemption hadn't come. So they would refer to him as the angel of the Lord. So he's calling him my Lord. And I said, "No, my Lord." And he said to me, "This continuous supply of oil is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, prince of Judah, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord. Now, we just use here, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. But no, this one, I love the Amplified, because the Amplified is breaking it down. He said to me, the continuous supply of oil is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord. Now, I want, before I read the next thing, I said all the time when I would hear that, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, right? So what is he saying? Your supply, my presence, my power, and everything that you need from me, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the will of my spirit. So I go back to the statement last week that Nelly said, I said, Lindsay used to say all the time in frustration too, you know, I feel like you don't do any, you don't have to do much of anything. And I'm busting my butt and, you know, here you are. And I go, so should I join you or should you join me? No, you paying attention to what I'm saying? So you're frustrated because you're breaking your neck and working hard day and night, and I don't seem to be doing enough in your mind to be worthy of these blessings. And so I should be shamed into being more like you. Now, you see how the silliness of that is? You see how foolish that sounds? You see how people, even though they would hear me say this and seen it, and some of you have known me for decades and know this to be the truth, but still trying to figure out how to not do that and trying to figure out why I'm not doing what you do. Well, because what you do don't work. I don't want it. You can keep it. The key is this. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your intellect. It's not by your knowledge. It's by his spirit. Wait a minute. But the Bible says, and I had this conversation with God, so I'll have it with him for you, okay? If any man not work, let him not eat. So I'm working. I'm working hard so I can eat. That's what the Bible says, right? So then, you know how you're trying to play spiritual lawyer with God? Okay, all right. So then there's something is missing in translation then. Because he's saying, behold, the birds of the air, they toil not, neither they spin, that your father feeds them. Well, this is not telling you to be a freeloader and live off of anybody by a long shot. But there's something about the spirit that's attached to the way you're approaching it that doesn't work. He sees this vision. He sees two olive trees continually filling the bowl. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Okay. The prophet comes to the woman. This is my last bread and my last meal. Me and my son going to eat it, going to die. Give it to me. And then it just keeps increasing, 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 and it never runs out. Right? Prophet didn't say, oh, you need to go get a job. I mean, if I was you, I'd just go work at the car wash or take a Walmart job. You need to do something. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it's times tough. You need to do what you need to do. No, he didn't say that. He said, watch this. Take care of me. God will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things be added. Oh, this pastor's up here advocating for people not to work. No, I'm advocating for you not to do your work. I'm advocating for you to do the work that God tells you to do. And a lot of times the work that God tells you to do, a lot of time is a lot stranger. What do you mean it's a lot stranger? It's a lot easier. What do you mean it's a lot easier? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many scriptures do you have to see where Jesus is saying to you, all this overworking is going to get you nothing but ulcers and overworked? What is it? What am I asking for this season? By the Spirit of God, I'm saying, you don't trust God as much as you say you do. You trust God to move through your vehicles. You don't trust God to move through God's vehicles. maybe God in this season will say to you, I need you to get in there and I need you to grind. But then this season, he's going to say, now I need you to sit down and be still. There's something about that whole thing where he said to him on the Sabbath day, don't work, don't do nothing. I watched the Jewish people shut the stores down in those days, and they go home early when the business is booming. They shut in the store. Saturdays, stores closed. How does store close on Saturday? Saturday's the business. Nope. And God provides. And he provides because, listen to me close, his laws have not changed and his rules have not changed. Listen to me real close. Look right at my face and listen to what I'm saying to you. You're not letting God be your father or be God. You're trying to do God business and you're trying to get God to cooperate with you on the plans that you have. And if that's the way you live your life, fine. God bless your heart. But I'm telling you from experience, that does not work well. It works better when you do what he says and then you step out the way and let him do what he does. Now, I'm gonna give you a good example. Business partners, people I work with. So three of you are on here, so all three of you are gonna get it. Nellie, Esther, Lindsay, all three of you. This is my job. This is my role. This is what I do. Okay. This is your job. This is your role. This is what you do. Okay. All three of you throughout my tenure of working with you have stepped over into my realm, try to take charge, try to tell me what to do, try to push the needle your way, and didn't work. I never went up on Broadway and jumped up on stage and tried to tell Esther how to do the dance. I never run over to the meetings with the people and staffing and try to tell Lindsay how to have her meetings. I never push Nellie away from the chair and try to do nobody's hair. Ever. I stay in my lane and it works. The problem is we do that to God. We ask God to do his job and he starts to do his job and you're going to jump in and try to guide his hand. And you know what God does? What I do now. Okay. Call me when you finish. Call me when you finish. Well, God, where were you? I was there and you pushed me out. So, not by might, not by intelligence, not by connections, not by, friendships and relationships, said there's things that are done by my spirit. And all I require you to do is your part and then watch the works manifest. And when they're done by his spirit, we've said this before, as corny can be, then you can't get the glory or take the credit for it. But some people need to take the credit, so they'll take the credit anyway because that's just how they flow. But God's like, okay, so once you take the credit, then it becomes your work again. And once again, is this, I'm out. All right, so good. Let me know when you finish. Give me a call when you're done. And you say, God, please come in and help. As soon as God starts helping and you see a little light peeking through, you say, okay, God, thanks. I got to move, 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 move. So go back to the thing with Sophie. Baby, don't come in. How are you paying the bills? What you doing? Is your job paying enough? I don't know. I think you're working too many hours. You need to, you, she don't, she, that's like, that's not her business. And she don't want it to be her business because children are smart enough until they get old enough to be dumb. Children are smart enough to know that I don't need them headaches. Like, I don't need to know what mommy's situation is and how she makes it work. I'm just happy that she makes it work. That's all I care about. And listen to me. Y'all can say it before God right now. I don't really need to know how you make it work. I just need to trust that you make it work. I need to trust that you know how to do what you do, and I need to stay in my place. God will speak to you sometimes through vision, right? Sometimes through the word, answering prayer, sometimes through silence. And at those moments, there's a requirement of you to be still and listen. At those moments, it requires you to follow suit. Be still and listen. I've been praying and praying. I didn't get an answer. Well, your answer is be quiet then. Your answer is silence. Your answer is be still. Come on. You see, thank you, Esther. I see you getting it, right? That's an answer. I didn't get an answer. Yes, it's shut up. That's what it is. I'm saying it in human terms. God is nicer. It's shut up. That's what it is. Be quiet. Be still. If God's being quiet, imitate him. Stop trying to get him to join you in your frustration and just join him in his quiet. Bars. Come on. You follow what I'm saying? Like I said to them, like you're freaking out. I'm not. Now you're upset because you want me to freak out like you are. But I'm making money, you're not. So why should I freak out like you? My needs are met, so why should I freak out like you? It makes absolutely no sense. Follow the path that's winning. It's the craziest thing when you talk to Christians or people that claim to be Christians and all of you know it, and you start trying to explain to them, they ask you for help, and you start explaining to them. And what's one of the first things they say? Yeah, but I know, but. And right away you're like, so why am I wasting my time talking to this person? If you know, then you know. That's good. Then we could drop this conversation. So, real situation I had with a person not too long ago. They were doing this business deal, and the people wasn't doing what they said they were going to do, and he was upset. And he's telling me, I'm gonna get in my car, I'm gonna head over there right now, I'm just gonna check them, da 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 da. And I said, okay. He said, what do you think? I said, I think you should sleep on it. He like looked up, looked around, because that's not what the answer he wanted. And he said, I just talked to my wife and my mentors. Like I, you know, talked to them and I was like, oh, okay. I said, I just gave him a whole scenario what God told me, be still, be quiet till all that emotion is gone so you can see other avenues. Okay. So just before I left that day to go, to leave, he brought it up again. Now, I'm working out. I'm not listening. I'm not, you understand what I'm saying? It's like I'm hearing him, but I'm not listening anymore. Because I already gave you my advice and you already threw it back in my face. So he said it again. And I kept doing what I was doing. I said, and I looked at him and said, oh. And then he's looking at me now. He's mean mugging me. He's grilling me. I said, what? Do you want an answer? Yeah. I said, I'm going to say to you what I said before. Leave it alone, sleep on it, and see how you feel the next morning. He said, man, that's gangster. I said, do it or don't do it. I don't know what to tell you, bro. He said, nah, bro, you just like shut me down. Like, I'm like, I told you what to do. You said you didn't want to hear what I had to say. You're going to get some better counsel from some better people. I think that's a great idea. You wind up in jail or shot or something because you run up on somebody. That's not my problem. I told you to go home and sleep on it. I left, saw him a couple of days later. Let me tell you, I know some of y'all could not resist this, but I've changed a lot. I didn't bring it up. I didn't ask him how it went. I didn't even do nothing. It was about maybe 10, 15 minutes into the workout, he said, oh, by the way, I did what you said. And then the next day I called and the father picked up the phone and he fixed everything and everything's good. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And just kept doing what I was doing. Said, all right, all right, all right. From now on, and when you tell me stuff, I'm not gonna argue with you. I said, you know what? That's a man right there. Because most men can't do that. They can't say, all right, you know what? Let me learn how to shut up and be quiet and submit. And definitely females, you know, no disrespect, but come on. Because I feel, right? That's the woman dynamic. Because I feel. And because I feel, or everything else doesn't matter, because I feel. And what I feel is everything. Okay. Can you feel God being quiet? Good. Feel that and do that. Because it's not going to be done by your ways and paths in this season. I'm not talking about what you did yesterday. I'm not talking about what you did last year and last month. I'm telling you where you go forward. Everything we've been studying, the whole anxiety and for what, all of that is comes down to this. This cannot be done in human reasoning and it cannot be done in your power. It can't and it never will. So here's where we are. Here's why I'm bringing it home. Let me go back to this verse, and let's close the chapter. Verse 6 again. Then he said to me, this continuous supply of oil, somebody say continuous supply. Come on, continuous supply of oil is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, prince of Judah, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. What? Now I'm going to the next verse 7. What are you, great mountain of obstacle before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain, insignificant, and he will bring out the capstone of the temple with the shouts of grace, grace to it. Now, this is where I want to land it. What are you, great mountains of obstacle before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain, insignificant. Here's where I land the plane. He shows him this vision with continuous supply. Zerubbabel has a charge. It will get done. This great mountain of obstacle that you may be looking at right now, you're listening to me? And what's crazy about it is you've had great mountains of obstacle before and got around them and got above them every time. And people say, I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, all these stupid church songs. I hate to poop on people's stuff, but it's garbage. It's not biblical. He just said, I will make that mountain a plain. He didn't say you would have to climb up it. He didn't say you have to go through the rough, jagged cliffs. He said, I will make it a plain. I saw another scripture back in the day when I was a kid. And he said, I will give you a sword with teeth of iron that will cut through the mountains. So every time I would hear these things about the rough side, I was like, well, I'm not going up there. I'm going to cut through the middle. I'll make a tunnel and go through it. God said he'd make it a plain. He didn't even say this in this situation, speak to it and cast it in the sea. He said it will be made into a plain. So here's what I'm saying to you. There are things that you do have the power to do. There are things that are in your power to do. You listening? But here's what I need you to understand. Even those things that are in your power should be submitted to his power. Even those things that you can do should be submitted to him before you do them so that he can multiply them. Even the things that you think that are in your strength and character to perform, you should not perform them without first saying, where do I stop? Or do I start? And where do you begin? What I'm saying to you is process. You're going to walk through this. It's just going, this may take you a minute to pull this out in your own self. Telling yourself to be quiet, telling yourself to be still, telling yourself to shut up when the world is screaming at you to move is one of my things. It's hard to focus on the truth when the lie is screaming in your face. Right? So the lie is screaming and telling you, you got to do this. This is what we do. This is what the world does. This is what everybody does. Right now, here's what I'm going to suggest. If any of that stuff is around you, cut it off. If it's stuff on the news or social media that's getting you all upset and getting you focused, stop watching it. Turn it off for a season. If you want to fast, you don't need to necessarily fast food. A lot of times you need to fast disturbances and distractions. There's too much going around you, speaking and screaming into your spirit things that take you away from the promise and the word of God. Too many things. There's too many things that block your mind. The state of the economy or what the tariffs are going to do. Trump said this today. Listen, if this is the world you focused on, this is the world you get. Focus on God right now. Make it a decision. I don't get fast news and outside information and everything you need to for the next week, if that's what it takes. Block out any and all conversations that bring anxiety or tension to you. If whatever you need to do, whatever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are praiseworthy, I mean, of good report, if it be praise, any virtue, think on these things. This word is telling you that for a reason. So you got the word. He said the oil symbolizes the word of God. You got the word. You got the promise. What are you focusing on more? Because you can't see the promise if that's not the focus. So this is the week I would say, entitle this message, please be quiet. Just be quiet. Be still long enough to get clear instruction. Stop sticking your nose in daddy's business and asking him how he's going to do it. Because a lot of times he's not going to tell you. It's none of your business. But if you be still long enough, he'll give you an instruction. And I want you to understand this instruction he gave, because they're trying to build the temple and they're facing these obstacles and these mountains and these things. And he goes before the Lord, and here's what the Lord says to him. I'm showing you a vision of provision, of nonstop oil flowing, which represents his spirit, he said, and his word. And his answer to his question, if you read this again thoroughly, is not, and here's what you're going to do. It was, here's what I'm going to do, and here's what I need you to do. I need you to understand that I do not need you in this process. It's not by might, it's not by power. This is going to be done by my spirit. So this is the time where you have to say, okay. I've done it my way for the past 6 months, 6 years, 6 weeks, whatever it's been. And I'm working at it, working. One day it's going to pop. I just know one day it's going to pop. No, one day you're going to pop. It's not going to pop. I'm just telling you right now, it's just not going to pop. It's not going to change. The lucky number is not going to come in. You're not going to hit some spiritual lotto and all of a sudden, because even if that happened, you would mess that up and you'd be right back where you are again because your spirit's still in the same dirty place. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to give you the facts. No, it's not going to happen like that. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to learn to be quiet and trust the move of God. That's what you're going to learn. And until you learn that, you will go around and around and around that mountain and never enter to the promised land. And I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you what I've had to learn. I'm telling you what I'm still learning. The reason it works for me, because I know how to be still. I do. I'll sit down. I'll go watch TV. I'll go watch. You're supposed to be working. I just feel like watching a movie right now. I don't feel like working. Why? Because I don't know. Because I'm working and it's making me feel frustrated. So because I'm feeling frustrated, that means that God's hand ain't on it. Because if you're doing what God has called you to do, come on and talk to me. If you're doing what God is telling you to do, it shouldn't be making you frustrated. It shouldn't make you anxious. It shouldn't make me feel I'm just so tired. I'm just so I say, oh my God, I just been up and running and I just don't know. Okay, so good. So you got your reward. Remember we did that? You get to brag about how much hard work you did and how many hours you stayed up. That's your reward. People, oh my God, girl, you, whew, oh my God, you must work so hard, man. Wow. I just respect you. Okay, so you got respect, no bank account. This is stupid. Stupid. It doesn't make sense. No, I'd rather say, I don't know what the heck I did. I don't know. I just gave it to God and I just sat down and then he just said, turn left, and I turned left, and there it was. See, you don't want to say that because that don't give you props. I don't need props anymore. I need God to provide for me. I need God provision. I need God that can take me to this next level he's promising to take me. And I know there's nothing in me that's going to get me there. I'm going to say that one more time. There's nothing in me except the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in me personally as a human being that's going to get me to where God called me. Nothing. It took me 6 years, 60 plus years just to find peace in my life. Please, I don't have 60 more. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying I've learned, God, it works better when I don't know how it works, but I trust you to work it. I'm gonna say it one more time. It works better when I don't know how it works, but I trust you to work it and I just participate. So get in the driver's seat, shut up, be quiet, get out the driver's seat, I meant. Get in the passenger seat and just, as people say, Jesus, take the wheel. Just got, let God drive and don't stay awake telling them where to turn. Just when you pass the exit, just shut up. Sit down, shut up, be quiet. Just let him do what he does. But I always go this way. Yeah, and it hasn't worked for 30 years. So why are you still trying to go that way? But it's our human nature to want to take the reins. Stay out of grown folks' business. Stay out of God's business. It's not by your might. It's never going to be by your power. It's going to be by His Spirit. Amen. I hope you got something. Amen.